Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with John Rubino, founder and editor of the Dollar Collapse website. And John, you know, it's been about a month since you and I last chatted. You said that you were going to take September off, do a little sightseeing in your area. And now that we're chatting a month later, when it comes to the precious metals, we haven't seen much movement on price. Fine, 2 weeks ago, we had a bit of a sell-off that happened early in the week down to 1850, let's say. But now gold is back above 1900, but still very much in this range. John, give us a thought. Now that you're back at your computer, now that you're back watching the markets a little closer, what are you looking for in terms of the next catalyst for the precious metals?
Hey, Corey. Well, you know, long term, you should definitely be optimistic and enthusiastic about gold and silver because the big macro trends are going their way, for sure. Shorter term, there are also some reasons to begin to be optimistic. And one of them is that, you know, gold had a nice correction. Silver had a fairly serious correction. And they're starting to move back up off those interim lows. So you got some price momentum going. And then the mainstream money managers of the world continue to make new recommendations to their clients about gold and silver because, you know, it used to be that nobody in the mainstream investment community would recommend gold to their clients. And now a lot of big investment banks and money managers have changed their minds. And just this last week, Wells Fargo and UBS came out with very favorable recommendations for the gold price and for gold as a way to hedge against uncertainty in the market. I think Wells Fargo is now at 2,300 for the year ahead price in U.S. dollars for gold. So that's a nice run from 1,900 where it is today. And the amount of generalist mainstream money that's out there just dwarfs the size of the gold market. You know, if you add up real estate, stocks, and bonds, you get something like $600 trillion worldwide, whereas the gold market is around $10 trillion. So even if just a percentage point or two of investable capital listens to what the investment bankers are saying now and moves into precious metals, that's an immense, that's, you know, two or three times what's there now in gold and silver. So that would be a really big deal if it happened, and it certainly appears to be happening. Another reason that I think is the shortest term reason for optimism is that the U.S. government, you know, we're in such chaos here in the U.S. that they're going to feel obligated, our government, to come up with another stimulus bill pretty soon here. It's going to include maybe new unemployment insurance, almost certainly direct payments of the nature that they had in the last stimulus bill, which was just $1,200 for every adult. Now, last time around, a lot of that money, which was sent to millennials, went into Robinhood stock trading accounts, and that caused the stock market to do some really unusual things because you had all this brand new money flowing in and chasing momentum and stuff. Well, if we do that again, you know, if we refresh the Robinhood accounts of millennials, a lot of them during the last little mini cycle here, we're focusing on gold and silver miners as momentum plays because they had been going up dramatically. So you got to figure that some of that new money will flow back into the thing that the millennials remember making money in last time around. And that should be a nice short-term pop for the mining stocks. So, you know, to summarize, you've got phenomenal long-term fundamentals. You've got the mainstream investing community coming on board precious metals, and you've got a short-term stimulus flowing from the government almost directly in some cases into the mining stocks and the big gold ETFs. So I would say, you know, even leaving aside the fact that 2021 is liable to be a really chaotic year, both politically and economically, I would say that a lot of factors are pointing towards a pretty decent year ahead for gold and silver, and a potentially really good year ahead for the mining stocks.
So, John, one issue I think right now with the precious metals stocks, with a lot of actually sectors, is the fact that investors are distracted. They're distracted by the election. They're distracted by the never-ending news regarding COVID cases creeping higher pretty much around North America. How do you think that these distractions play into at least some of the short-term moves?
Well, you know, nothing is really predictable in the very short term, like this week or next week. You just can't know what's going to happen because so many factors that are just completely unrelated to anything concrete or anything we know about could come into play. Somewhat longer term, you're right. A lot of people are very distracted by the stuff that's going on, but they're also very scared by the stuff that's going on. And that kind of plays into precious metals as an investment thesis, because the more nervous you are about the big systems out there, in other words, the general economy and the currency and the government, the more you want to just hide out and protect yourself from these things that are no longer behaving in predictable ways. And gold and silver tend to do well in environments like that. So yeah, right now, people are clearly distracted and maybe aren't paying a lot of attention to their investments, but a lot of other people are terrified about their investments and are looking for ways to protect what they've got in a world that is just not behaving the way it's supposed to. So I think the troubles that we're going through right now are on balance good for safe haven assets, because that's what safe haven assets are for. They protect you in times of uncertainty. And, you know, in our lifetimes, Corey, this is the most uncertainty we've ever seen, really.
Oh, it really is. It's a very different world than what we had just over 6 months ago. But John, back to the election, how do you see the different outcomes impacting the gold trade? Because no matter who wins, we are going to have that uncertainty behind us, but there's a lot of arguments that we could see very different policies depending if it's a Trump or Biden victory.
Well, I think we're in the U.S. at least, past the place where it matters who's in charge. Because remember, Trump and the Republicans, which is the party of small government, have been in charge for the last 3 years, and we've been running trillion-dollar deficits at the federal level continuously with no end in sight. Because remember, demographics now points to higher deficits just because the baby boomers are going to be retiring, which means we will be paying less in taxes and demanding more of governments going forward for healthcare and Social Security and stuff. So deficits were going to rise in any event. They were already very high. And, you know, let's say we replace the Republicans with Democrats, who are emphatically not the party of small government, we'll see even more debt accumulated. So, you know, whoever's in charge next time around is going to have to borrow a ton of money, and they're going to have to spend a ton of money, and they're going to have to give a lot of direct payments to people. There's no way around any of that, because let's, you know, put the Republicans in charge of everything. They're still going to inherit an economy that is a total mess, in part because of the lockdown and in part because of the natural disasters of this year. And they're going to have to spend their way out of it if they don't want the system to just drop into a 1930s-style deflationary depression. So, you know, I expect our political system to be really chaotic and for that to spook people, which is good for precious metals and not so good for traditional financial assets. But once the dust clears, once we figure out who's in charge and what the terms of their power will be going forward, in other words, how much power that they have, the policies are going to be pretty similar. Spend a ton of money and borrow what you need to cover that. And that's the kind of thing that in the long run is great for precious metals. I mean, you know, for equities in general, that's the tricky thing, because, you know, you can make the case that the stock market will go up if we create a huge amount of new currency to cover our mounting debts, because a lot of that new currency will flow into blue chip stocks. And so it, you know, it could be that stocks in general also do well, but in that kind of an environment, at least historically, precious metals tend to do better. And the mining stocks tend to do even better than the underlying metals. So you would still want to be, regardless of who wins this election, regardless of how messy it is or how smooth it is, you probably still want to be in safe haven assets, just because no future government in the U.S. has any choice about how to govern.
So, John, as much as we talk about all the stimulus that is coming, you know what? We've seen a lot of stimulus over, well, decades now, but it hasn't always ended up in the precious metals. Does it matter what type of stimulus we get here in the near term for the results that you're looking for precious metals rising?
Probably not in this case, because they're limited in what they can do. I mean, one kind of stimulus would be quantitative easing, where the Fed just prints a lot of money and buys financial assets with that money. That would boost financial assets. And that's what happened in the 2011 to 2018 or so timeframe. And you're right, that didn't help precious metals. But remember, precious metals had had a phenomenal run prior to that. You know, gold had gone from single digits to, or silver had gone from single digits to $50 an ounce. And gold had gone from a couple of hundred dollars an ounce at the beginning of the century to 1900. So you could make the case that that was just, an overdone bull market that had to be worked off no matter what kind of stimulus was coming. Now it's not really so much the case because we've taken on immense amounts of new debt and gold is still there at 1900. You know, it's where it was at the end of the last cycle. So this cycle should have a lot further to run. So I think that stimulus will help broad sections of the financial market and some sections more than other, but precious metals should be one of the big winners this time around just because the reason for all the stimulus that we're going to see is uncertainty. You know, things are going to be really stressful out there and people are going to be extremely worried. And when they're worried, they aren't as likely to be optimistic about, say, Google going from 75 times sales to 100 times sales or whatever the current situation is for Google. But they are more likely to say, okay, let me get some gold coins and just hide them really well, just in case, you know, and I'll get some silver because I'll be able to buy groceries with that. And that will probably help precious metals prices, which in turn will help the mining stocks dramatically because, you know, we haven't talked about mining economics right now, but oil, which is one of the biggest costs of mining, is down, while the price of what they're selling, especially in the case of gold, is way up. So you're seeing the margins of the gold miners just explode, which means they become growth stocks with earnings momentum characteristics going forward. And so that's a whole different set of the investment community that will be looking at them and thinking, wow, did you see what Newmont did? They just doubled their earnings this year and they increased their dividend by 50%. I'm going to grab this, you know, without even really understanding what gold mining is. They're just going to see the numbers that the companies have generated. So, I just think there are a lot of reasons right now to like mining stocks, and that won't go away.
All right, John, we will wrap it up there. It really just all comes down to the mentality of investors and what they prefer in terms of assets. But no doubt that gold trading in the 1900s, I know some of the gold bugs are disappointed at that recent pullback, but it's very healthy, it's very natural, and you need to consider that gold has never traded in the 1900 range for this long, and it could very well be setting up a nice another bottom for another move higher, but man, there's a lot of distractions in the world right now. John, thanks for taking some time on this Monday. Nice to have you back. I will post a link to your website. Chat with you in another couple weeks.
Great, Corey. Thanks.